Hello, my name is Ilana Flamenhoff. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Lamed Hei, Chapter 35. Our Perek, chapter, begins with the word LeDavid, to David. It does not begin with the words Mizmor LeDavid, a song for David, or LeDavid Mizmor, for David a song. Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch understands this to mean that David is not gaining inspiration on the wings of a song. David does not have the outpourings of divine rapture coming from a full heart or referencing a specific event. Rather, the words in our chapter are the most profound expression of a spirit looking to God for help against enemies and oppressors. He is simply stating his emotions and the thoughts that fill his soul. This psalm can be divided into three sections. Verses 1 to 10 are a prayer that his enemies should fail. Verses 11 to 18 are a lament about how his enemies betrayed him. Verses 19 to 28 are a prayer that his enemies should not be successful and that those who support David should be able to joyfully acknowledge Hashem's greatness. While it is clear that David is praying for deliverance from his enemies, the commentators do not agree about which specific enemies he is referring to. The Radak wrote that these verses refer, in general, to David having to run away from Shaul. Yosef ibn Yahya, a 16th century Italian Bible commentator, wrote that this chapter alludes to what chronologically happened after David ran away from Achish, the Philistine king of Gath, which David wrote about in the previous chapter. In our chapter, we see how upset and distressed David is when he hears about what happened in the city of Nob, which we learn about in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Bet, 1 Samuel, chapter 22. Doeg Ka'adomi, an advisor to King Shaul, reported to him that he had seen David in Nov and that the Kohanim of the city had given supplies and Goliath's sword to David. This infuriated Shaul, who accused Achimelech of siding with his enemies against him. Achimelech replied that as far as he knew, David was Shaul's loyal son-in-law, and that he would never act against Shaul. Shaul paid no heed. He ordered the city destroyed and the Kohanim killed. His men were hesitant to carry out this order, so Doeg took it upon himself and killed 85 men, plus women, children, and livestock. While it is possible that this is the source of David's anguish, it isn't unreasonable to disagree, since he clearly refers to this incident in Psalm 52. The Sforno, a 16th century Italian rabbi and biblical commentator, wrote that chapter 35 refers to when David has to run away from his son Avshalom. Avshalom was a son of David HaMelech. From childhood on, he rebelled against his father, seeking to establish his own reign and replace his father as king. Eventually, David HaMelech was forced to flee from his son when war broke out between the king's forces and Avshalom's partisans. Here also, one could ask whether the reference to Avshalom is questionable in light of chapter 3, where David explicitly references it. We can see this as well in the very first pasuk of our chapter, Riva Hashem et Yerivai Lacham et Lochamai, of David, O Lord, fight with my adversaries, give battle to my foes. Rav Hirsch notes that the choice of these words is that the battle is one-sided. David is saying that they are war against me, but I am not fighting them. We may not know if David's painful feelings were based on the general concept of facing enemies or a specific incident. Nevertheless, David's heartfelt plea to be spared from harm takes a very specific form. He continues to pray that Hashem should defend him and that his enemies be humiliated and chased away. In verse 6, it says, Yehi darkam choshek, v'chalak lakot u'malach Hashem rodfam. Let their path be dark and slippery with the Lord's angel in pursuit. David prays for darkness to find them and their path to be slippery. Rashi explains that when both of these difficulties come together, they spell disaster. The wicked stumble because the path is slippery, and since it is dark, they cannot avoid the danger because they cannot see where they are going. David prays for the wicked to fail in darkness also in verse 8. It is interesting to note that throughout the Bible, the wicked are punished in darkness. The angels arrived at night to destroy the city of stone. The firstborns of Egypt were killed at night. Sancheirev's Assyrian army, while plotting to capture Jerusalem, was destroyed at midnight. Haman's downfall began when King Ahasuerus could not sleep at night. In verse 10, David describes how he will react to the downfall of his enemies. Kol asmatai tomarna Hashem mikamocha, matzil ani mechazak mimenu, ve'ani ve'evyon migozlo. All my limbs will say, Hashem, who is like you? You save the poor from one stronger than he, the poor and needy from he who robs him. It is worth mentioning that David describes his reaction to success, never doubting that Hashem would save him. This pasuk has halachic, statutory implications, as we see in the Talmud, Brachos 28b, dealing with the proper way to pray. Shmona Esrei contains 18 brachot, blessings, that correspond to the 18 vertebrae in the spine. During prayer, when one must bow down, it is important to bend all of them. Many people sway back and forth during their prayers in order to involve all of their limbs. David's reference to what our limbs will say is explored by many commentators. Here are some other reasons why we might sway when we daven, pray. According to the Kuzari, the 12th century philosophical work by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, swaying was a practical custom when people frequently prayed out of a single book and moved up and down to make room for the many others who wanted to use that book. A potentially simpler reason is provided by the Aruch HaShulchan, written by Rabbi Yechiel Michel Epstein in the 19th century. He asserts that many sway during prayer because it improves their kavana, spiritual intensity, and helps engage the individual in conversation with God. At this point, it is fascinating to note that despite David's repeated requests, in great detail, that God cause his enemies to fail, David feels it is important to point out that despite how they treated him, he prayed for the welfare of his enemies. David says in verse 12, Yishalmuni ra'a tachat tova, they repay me evil for good. David never instigated a battle against his enemies, and yet they attacked him. He then goes on to say that he prayed for them despite how they treated him. Verse 13, Va'ani b'chalotam levushi sak, ineti b'tzom nafshi, utfilati alcheki tashuv. Yet when they were ill, my dress was sackcloth. I kept a fast. May what I prayed for happen to me. Despite the fact that they were his enemies, David prayed for them, for their souls. We see this idea in the Talmud in Bracha 10a. Certain people were causing considerable distress to Rabbi Meir, a great Jewish sage who lived during the time of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir begged God for mercy and prayed for the death of his enemies. His wife Beria was a scholarly woman quoted in the Talmud multiple times. She asked him, "Why do you pray for their death? Is it because King David prayed for the death of sinners? Let sinners cease from this earth?" That interpretation is mistaken. The verse actually says sins, not sinners, which refer to the things that cause people to sin. Instead of praying for their death, pray that they repent and turn away from their wickedness. Rabbi Meir accepted his wife's wise words. The sinners ultimately repented. We see David's exquisite humanity. He is more than a warrior and the sweet singer of Israel. He is a moral hero. When reading the last psukim of the Perek, we feel David's pain and anguish over how he is treated by his enemies. One could ask, how did David deal with so many difficult situations and not lose hope? How could he keep bouncing back? Elisheva Kamenetsky suggests an answer to this question in a recent issue of Jewish Action. She wrote, when Shmuel comes to anoint David as the next king, the latter is nowhere to be found. He is relegated to the backfields, and he is not even present to greet Shmuel, the great, well-known leader of the generation. David did not have the respect of his family. According to the Midrash, he was an outcast and a failure in the eyes of his own family. Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch teaches us that David was describing this time in his own life when he wrote the words in chapter 118, Evan ma'asu habonim haita l'rosh pina. The stone the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone. David himself is the stone that was discarded, only to become the crowning cornerstone of the magnificent Klal Yisrael. David becomes a longtime king as opposed to Shaul, who was removed early. His leadership is marked by failure, dips and valleys in his personal and religious life. Yet it is David who leaves a legacy through Sefer Tehillim of how to relate to Hashem at all times. while establishing the first successful monarchy in Israel. He is a model of resilience and an example of someone whose low points in life became the catalyst for some of his greatest achievements. David's failures in his youth prepared him well for his future. Ostracized from his family, David experienced isolation in the fields that gave him the opportunity to develop a deep relationship with Hashem and empathy for his flock, both the sheep that were his companions in his youth, as well as his future flock, B'nai Israel. The rejection by his family also prepared him well for the loneliness of leadership. Shaul, who had never felt the tension and disappointment of personal failure, was unable to combat the tension and disappointment that he felt from the people, and he succumbed to the pressure. David's greatness lies not only in his leadership, but in his experience with failure. His belief that he could rebound from the low points in life led him to take responsibility for his actions. He did not look to blame others when he disappointed himself, God, or others, but took personal responsibility. David's failures were the key to his success. His imperfections make him the perfect role model for us to emulate and learn from as we deal with our own failures and imperfections. Thank you for studying together the Iluy Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.